Hello again, it's Tiffany. I just want to say thank you so much for joining me on this one. I won't say much, but just a thought to communicate to you. Maybe you can think about it and share with me your thoughts or your perspective on things. First, I'd say I guess I'm okay. I'm all over the place with a lot of things, but I'm settling in okay with my freelance kind of work. Doesn't pay much as I used to get paid in other gigs, but I'm super happy because it's giving me a revelation, or it's giving insight into something, I'll not say astronomical, but something so deep, and it's giving me a chance to solve a problem that hasn't been solved before quite well. And it's an honor and a privilege. At this point, it wouldn't even be about the money. It's about solving this big problem in front of me. Okay, back to what I wanted to say. When I went for research last week, it was quite insightful. I got to talk to people, number one, who don't really know what user research is, who don't know the value of the smartphone itself. Some do possess the smartphone, some don't. And it got me really thinking about this digital divide we have, and it's so huge. It's a valley which I don't know if it can be bridged. It's really scary. Let me try and paint a picture for you. Right now, online, there's a conversation around different AIs, and this conversation around cryptocurrency and all these forms of digital currencies and blockchain in itself. There's virtual reality, there is so much technology and devices. We're seeing very many advanced devices, supercomputers, and I mean even the smartphones themselves are top-notch. So you have people who don't even have smartphones in the first place, and if they have, they don't know the value of the smartphone itself. Then on this other divide, you have people who are so advanced, who know the value of the smartphone, who are disrupting the smartphone itself and creating devices which are astronomical. And you're trying to figure out, people are saying that AI will replace UX designers. That's crap. Not just because of the empathy of the human touch that designers have. We definitely do. But also, there's this digital divide. The people who, you may assume that everyone, and that's the thing with assumption, and the major opportunity, I think, in the generation to come will not be in advancing the technologies, but it will be in questioning the assumptions. You can't assume because I'm not using artificial intelligence that you'll replace me. And that's a privilege I have, because I'm seeing the digital divide, I'm questioning the assumptions, and I'm seeing that the people who don't even know the value of the smartphone in the first place, the people who don't even have smartphones. So you can't tell me because I'm not in this other digital divide that my work is not yet, that my work is obsolete. It's not. We have to accept the fact that we as designers need to choose where we want to lie. So It wouldn't be bad if you want to be on this other divide where you're striving for nothing but the most advanced and innovating around pushing the boundaries and the limits of the technology that exists now, that exists in the future. You're futuristic in that perspective, and that's fantastic. We need people who are looking at the future, who have insights from the future and bringing it to the present and just pushing that bar. But there are also people here in this other divide. I think the work is tough. I'm on this other edge. I'm on this other divide where I've realized when I was conducting research, even my style of doing user research had to change. I had to adapt my user research to fit the context so the people I was interviewing, they don't really like technology, they don't know the value of technology, they don't have access to all these devices that this other digital divide has. They are not engrossed in the lingo, in the environment, in the lifestyle that these other people have. They are just struggling to get by. And what is really pinching me at the heel is that who do you really think will benefit most, will derive the most utility in adopting technologies to transform their lives, to improve their livelihoods? It's these people who are struggling to get by. Okay, in this digital divide that I'm work in this other side that I'm working from, it's people who don't really know the value of technology, number one. It's people who are just struggling to get by. You'll find people who have now started looking at these people as, oh, this is number one, an untapped market. These are also people who, if we invest in digitizing their workflow, their processes, their life, it's going to be better. And if we positively impact these people, the bar is going to be it's going to be lifted even higher, and people will have more access to various services, various markets, various networks, and the life is going to be better, which means in an overall outlook, everyone's life is going to be better. And AI will not replace your job in the digital, in this, if you look at it from a digital divide perspective. If you're looking at the people, of course, artificial intelligence and all these amazing tools are coming to help us to improve our workflow. And that's the thing with being if you are really focused on serving either way. As a UX designer, you have to be kind of like in the middle, even if you're serving or leaning on one side of this digital divide. The people also, fun fact, the people also in the middle, they know the impact of AI, but they just don't know how to reach that other digital divide of being advanced and accessing these networks, accessing these devices, these tools, these processes that are advanced in nature. There's that middle ground also. So it's knowing where you are and what you need to do and how you're going to serve these people so as to improve the workflow. The goal is to improve their workflow, improve their experiences, improve their lives, and just lifting the bar higher for them. And the role of UX designers I'm seeing is making that transition as smooth and as possible and as simple and as sustainable as possible. The thing is, we can't ignore the fact that we need to start questioning our assumptions. Not everyone has access to a smartphone. Not every youth has access to a smartphone. And not every youth with a smartphone has access to knowledge, to a mindset that will enable them to question the already laid assumptions about what is possible. Okay, as a youth, I have a smartphone, for example, right? Can be able to communicate with people, research on different things. I have access, but I don't know where to start. I don't even know what to start with in the first place. So there's that bridge we also need to close. As much as the goal is, for example, for Google, the goal is to bring 1 billion people onto the internet. So it's through devices, it's through accessibility. There's a whole list from A to Z for that. And one of the major parts is improving the user experiences and tailoring it to these people's lives. I get that. But there's also this perspective of, I have a smartphone. What am I supposed to do with it? What are the possibilities? And I think these are one of the things that are really holding us back from advancing. And especially as a designer, moving those people from not knowing what's going on to knowing what's kind of going on, and moving these people from knowing what's kind of going on to that futuristic perspective is knowing what could be, what's possible, what's going on, and having that access to that environment, that mindset, that perspective of things. Something else, not just that affects the digital divide, is accessibility. And I'm seeing at least some things are being done, but we have quite a journey. And accessibility, let me break it down. The people who are disabled, and we know that they will benefit the most when they're able to adopt technology in their lives. We know that. But not much is being done to bring people who are disabled onto the digital age. And the products which are being designed right now, which are being developed, which are being innovated, isn't really disability friendly. We know that, but why aren't we prioritizing people who are disabled when we are coming up with products? So, there's that digital divide. The people who'd really want to adopt these technologies, or the people who don't even know these technologies exist for them, the people in this middle ground who know the technologies, but these technologies aren't really serving them properly. Then there's this other edge, this other divide, where people like accessibility tech is advanced. It's not there yet, but it's really pushing the boundaries as to the kind of accessibility tech product services. It's pushing the bar on that. So how are we supposed to bring those people from this other divides onto that divide? One of the major roles would be designers creating experiences, products, services that will empower the disabled. And something to note, the goal would be for the disabled and the abled to communicate effectively, because that's the major problem. That's the major difference, is the communication model. The way the disabled communicate and the way abled people communicate, it's different. So how are we supposed to model or design experiences and products for the disabled that will match the way they communicate with other people, the way they communicate their thoughts, their ideas, their processes, their essence to reflect impact in the world. I don't know if that makes sense. In their way, not in the abled way, or it's in, how do I put this? The major barrier is communication. It's not really even ability, it's communication. So how are we supposed to design products, experiences, and services that targets the disabled? Let's start from there. And when we mean targeting the disabled, it means that it is tailored to their needs and to their communication and understanding models, how they understand the world, how they communicate with the world, and how they communicate back, and how are we as the able to receive those communication signals and those ideas in a way that we as well understand. How do we smoothen this communication process? And how do we remove these barriers? There's that divide as well. It hasn't been bridged yet. So we're having artificial intelligence really trying to push the limits and the bar and trying to remove those barriers. But not many people have access to such products, such services, and such experiences. And the thing is, when people come up with ideas and come up with products and services, we all know that we go where the money is. And many a times, the money isn't with people who don't have access to it. We target people who have the money for it and are willing to pay to get access to it. So money is really a big role. If there's a way we can remove that barrier of money, that will really help in availing access to the people who are not able to afford such experiences, such services, such products. And also, us as experienced designers can adopt more accessibility mindsets in the sense that even if we are not able to avail to everyone those high standard products, for the people who we target, we will do our best with what we have. That's basically it. So don't feel intimidated by the idea of, if you don't adopt artificial intelligence, you'll be out of a job, you'll be replaced. You can't be replaced so long as that digital divide is still there. So long as the topic of emerging markets is still there. We do realize that in the Western part of the world, technology is really advanced, as well as some parts of Asia and also Australia. Like, you can see they're really pushing that bar. But you'll find in developing markets, places which are still so behind in adopting these technologies, in adopting the mindsets and the motivation to even adopt these technologies in the first place. So just think about it and let me know what you think. Do you really believe that you'll be replaced because of these emerging technologies? And where do you lie in this digital divide as a person? And where do you see yourself serving in terms of the people who you'd like to develop products for, to design experiences and products for? where do they lie in this digital divide? Because don't cheat yourself. You might cram all the nitty-gritties of these AI tools have to offer, but then again, you have to ask yourself, the people who you're serving, do they even know what you do in the first place? And that's the challenge I'm having. Me trying to explain what user experience design is in the first place is hard. It is very, very hard. It is a trivial matter. I know what I do. I know the people I serve, but the people I serve don't even know what I do, don't understand the impact it can have in their lives. I know the power of technology because I experience it every day. I know how much it has helped me link with people I don't know, get jobs, and work with people I've never met physically. And for me, that barrier of distance and travel, it has really positively impacted me in the sense that I can work with people, I can learn from people who I've never met physically. I can travel the world through images and photos and experiences that people share on the internet. I can contribute to people's lives positively, even if I've never shaken their hand. Because I was taught design from people I've never met physically in the first place. I've never met my mentors physically. I've never met my role models and colleagues, some of the people in the industry that have really cheered me on or that have seen and I've interacted with. I've never met them, but they've been able to really give me insights that are shaping my perspective. So for me, it has really helped me. I've been able to provide for my family through remote work. And what else? I'm even sharing with you this information, even if you've never maybe seen me or never heard of me, but you're able to get information from me because of this internet or this form of communication. But not many people can have access to such opportunities. Not many people even know in the first place that they would need such opportunities. Not many people see the value up front. Not many people know what's important to them from a digital perspective. Then there's this other divide who actually know and assume it's so, because it's so basic for them. Getting an iPhone is something so basic for them. Advancing your devices, your technology, getting the next iPhone, whatever, getting the next Samsung Buds Pro. It's normal. It's something that you're adopting technologies to fit your needs based on who you're designing for and the future you're designing for. That's the outlook on things. And they are yearning for products which are able to assist them to push that boundaries further and to compete with the demand of keeping things and technologies to be updated and to be the latest and the most advanced and the best. There's that, and we need those benchmarks. I won't lie to you that I wouldn't want to see us lagging behind in technology, not even for a second. We need to keep the bar as high as possible so that we can do nothing but the best for the best to deliver excellence. That is what we are created for, nothing but the best with what we have. And that brings me to the people who don't even have in the first place. The real opportunity would be to question the basic assumptions, to question the what ifs, what could be's, why is it not, how come. That's where design opportunities I'm seeing are revealing themselves to me. Talking to people who don't have much knowledge or much motivation to adopt technology is a mystery for me, but it's something that I can weirdly empathize with. I understand where they're coming from. I know why. And knowing the impact that technology could have in their lives, it's just that thing that keeps your light burning, even if personally you're like, could it even work? Does it even make sense? But you're still here because of what if it actually works? And it's a deep sadness that I carry in my heart, realizing that the people who would benefit most, the people who are in most need of the technologies, in terms of the most advanced, the most up-to-date, will never get these technologies because they weren't designed for them. They didn't have them in mind. I'm talking about the poor people, the disenfranchised people. And there's another basic assumption I'd like to share with you that maybe I'll talk more about in my perspective piece, is the assumption that there's this assumption that most people use when designing financial products for people who are from developing countries and from rural areas like where I'm from. The pay slowly model isn't as sustainable as you'd think. And another assumption I'd like to get out there is debt is not really a sustainable way of positively impacting someone's life from where I'm from. Let me start with the first one. For someone who's earning minimum wage, let's take how much per day? Something reasonable, I'd say 300 bob. That's a median amount in any sense. You want someone who's earning 300 bob a day, that's like 1500 bob a week. That is roughly when you're using the current exchange prices, that would be around, let me Google this real quick. That would be around, Google is telling me, 100 and, oh, that's $11 a week. Let's round it up to $15 a week. So someone is earning $15 a week, but I'll use the Kenyan shilling. So from that, let's say they are paying for a solar panel per week. And maybe since they're in the digital age, they also want to pay for a smartphone. Because the smartphones right now, you pay every day. If you don't pay, they lock your phone. You can't really use it. That's the current thing going on. And this person has debts, and right now let me just clear the debt one. People aren't taking short-term debts to advance their businesses. That is the basic kind of psychology or thoughts we'd have when designing such products. That's not true. People And let's be honest, people are taking up debt to survive. We are in that age where you are taking debt to feed your family, you're taking debt to take yourself or your loved ones to hospital and paying the bills, or paying for the mortuary, or paying the school fees. That's where we're at. Short-term debt. It doesn't work to, you're trying to buy something that will help you expand your business, or a tool that will help you or return value that you'll be able to pay the debt with. That is the basic psychology of debt. You take up debt so that you can either invest in yourself or invest in your business. But people are taking debt to survive. And I think that's messed up. Right? And these short-term debts have very high interest rates. But you're paying debt to pay other debts, or you're paying debt to pay a very important bill that you might not afford. And the problem is also that I've realized in this digital divide is education. We were given smartphones, those of us in the middle of this, in the middle bracket of this digital divide, in this bridge. We are in the middle and we're given these smartphones. We kind of know how to use them, but we don't know the full utility of them. Maybe because we had to teach ourselves, or we had to learn from others. And the internet has really helped in availing that information. But you see, the people who are at the bottom or at the other edge of the bridge of this divide is, some may have these smartphones, but they don't even know where to start from. They don't know what to do with it. I wanted to clear that out. And also the point on debts. It's no longer sustainable. And that's an opportunity we need to really think about deeply. What does that mean in terms of designing financial products and designing financial services? Is it really sustainable? If it's user-centric, if it's customer-centric, are short-term debts the way to go? Are pay slowly models really functional? Let's take a family man earning, let's say a piki-piki guy earning 1,000 bob a day. So 1,000 times 5, that would be 5k. And they have to pay for the piki-piki, that's the motorbike, let's say 100 bob. And maybe you have food to pay, bills to pay, food to pay for, you have bills, you have the main breadwinner of the family, you have to make sure that your bike is well repaired, well serviced, well oiled. You have to also ensure that you're paying your dues, because it's not going to be free all the way. You have to pay allowances along the way, 50 bob, 100 bob, and you're expected to save. That does not really add up. That's not sustainable. For some people, there's a target audience that pay slowly actually works for. But for those hustlers, for people who are struggling, for people who are trying to make ends meet, for people who are living hand to mouth, if anything bad happens, they're done for. And these are mostly the people in this other digital divide who are living hand to mouth, who are trying to survive, who want to cross the border, who want better lives for themselves, for their families. They want better. Some give up and they're leaving it to their children to continue and to hold the mantle. And you just have to sit and question these assumptions. We assume that if it's affordable for someone who's earning minimum wage to pay slowly for their products, but imagine paying something for 3 years, it's just being chipped away. The little that you earn is chipped away. Is it really sustainable? Is it really empathetic? That's a question that has been bothering me for some time. And we really need to question these assumptions. We need to research, we need to talk to people, we need to see what's going on in the market, see what's going on from the data that we already have, and look for more and question even the data that we already have. Is it really reflective? Is it current? Is it updated? Is it true? Or things have changed? The question of fintech, and especially M-Pesa. M-Pesa has revolutionized our market. We know that. It's making things convenient. It's making things easier. But the price of convenience is quite steep. And that's why fintech will not replace banks. We need cash. Cash is cheaper than M-Pesa. It's easier for me to give someone money than send them money, because it is, as much as it's convenient, I'm paying for the convenience, but you have to question that assumption of it's convenience, it's all about convenience. Is it always about convenience? Because convenience is quite expensive, and you have to think whether it's sustainable for the long, long term. But this can be excused because M-Pesa is solid, M-Pesa is part of our lives. M-Pesa is, it's either cash or M-Pesa, and that's amazing. But you have to question that basic assumption, that itch, that nudge of, is convenience really worth it? Because if convenience was totally worth it, we wouldn't even be using cash in the first place. We'd just be using mobile money. But it isn't really there yet. And why isn't it really there yet? And that's the room, that's the opportunity that we have to improve that sector. Yeah, those are the thoughts I had in mind about the digital divide and why AI and all these emerging technologies won't replace you. You have to ask yourself, what do you have in your hand? Where are you in this life? Why did you get into tech in the first place? And where are you drawn to? And that will really help you in knowing where you want to serve and who you want to serve. Look at what other people are doing and what kind of projects really gives you thrill. What kind of projects give you purpose, makes you think, makes you question, makes you want to do something about it. And you pick your horse and you ride. Yeah? But don't be boxed. If you are on this divide where you have to learn these tools to survive, please do learn these tools, because it will really help in making sure that you are actually keeping up with the technology. Not with the people. You're keeping up with the technology. You're keeping up with your mindset, with your creativity. And also then again, for one to advance, there's this guy who was saying, for you to succeed in your future, you have to go back to your past and seek your blessings. So as much as we have these futuristic technologies upon us, go back to your past, and not just the past of your craft, but also your own personal past. See who you are from your past, know who you are, what drives you, so that as you're adopting and creating and advancing, your essence is not lost in what other people are doing, but you have your own piece of the cake in terms of the unique perspective you're bringing to the table, your unique thoughts, your unique outlook. And I think that's one of the pillars of creativity, is having that unique essence of who you bringing, who you are. And that's essentially design. Design is an extension of who you are to how you view your world and the kind of things you create for it. So be in touch with your past, be in touch with your present, and let's see what the future holds. And maybe you can pull it back a bit so that we can have a look or a sense of it right now in the present. But don't be too intimidated. You need to cram everything at once. Take it a day at a time. Also taking things a day at a time. That's why I took a step back from community. I took a step back from a lot of things to just find my essence, number one, and to also see where I'm headed. Don't be pulled or lured by other people. Be lured by the creativity that is involved in whichever digital divide you're in. The kind of creativity, the kind of problems which are being solved, the kind of outlooks, the kind of perspectives, the kind of things which you're seeing and experiencing and feeling. Those are, let the work and the craft move you. Don't let people move you. Let their work move you. And taking a step back has also made me realize a tip I want to share with you is community is a good thing and a bad thing. Community has opened up room in my life in so many ways, has made me meet amazing people, has made me see things from their perspective, which is really awesome. But that's the danger as well. You can't all think the same, and with community you have to have kind of the same groupthink so that you can move forward and move the agenda and the objectives of the community forward. But you need to be the lone wolf sometimes and take a step back, and you'll realize there's so much work that needs to be done in terms of you being a user experience designer. There's so many untapped industries that we're not talking of, that we're not thinking of, that we're not designing for. And if you're in community, there's that group think of you have to design for the big four, or you have to design for Fang or Mang, or the goal is to just be in that serving, designing for technology spaces only. And for user experience, as you've seen in this digital divide, there's so much room for upskill. There's so much room for bridging and education. There's so much more to be done. But I don't know if community is the best place to point you towards such untapped industries. I don't know if community will move to an uncomfortable position of designing for industries or designing for people who aren't as adept with technology as your community is, because community is bringing together people who have the same interests in technology. Once you leave, you'll realize that there are so many people. You'll see clearly, as I did, the people who are obsessed with technology and the people who don't even know what the technology is all about. So finding out that, for me, has been the biggest revelation so far, ever since I left tech communities and just jamming on my own. It's lonely. Oh my goodness, it's lonely. But I get to experience what other lonely, I get to experience how lonely it is for people who have taken not adopting technology as normal. For me, it's mind-blowing. For someone, for example, not to be able to join a tech community or to join a community space or to fully derive utility and enjoy technology as I do, I'm able to see much clearly. It's mind-blowing. So I'm not saying leave communities. There's a reason why you joined and there's a reason why you're still there. It's a journey. We are all in a journey. Don't make the mistake of comparing one's journey with another person's journey. Yours is yours. There's a reason why you are in that community, and there's a reason why you're doing so well in that. But please keep in mind that not everyone should think like you do. But keep on doing what you do, because you're standing up for something you believe in. You're standing up for something or a future for not just yourself. You're representing so many people and you're playing a big role in this digital divide, in opening up spaces for people who didn't know these networks exist, these environments where people can actually come together because of tech exist. You're playing that role. Play it well. Take community seriously. I would never want to have a situation where there are no tech communities. That would be bad, because tech communities are linking people to mindsets, environments. They're linking people to perspectives that weren't really there for them because of maybe where they come from, the kind of environment they grew up in, the background, the things we take for granted. Tech communities are breaking that barrier. Play that role well. And for those of us who are outside tech communities, we'll play the role of questioning you tech communities. Questioning the basic assumptions that make these tech communities. And I'm not just talking about, for example, I don't want to mention an example. You know yourselves, these tech communities which are there. I'm also talking about the environments that people come together because of tech. We are questioning that. We are assuming that. We are bridging gaps for more people to see there's room for people like them. There's possibilities beyond what they already know. And that's a big barrier. That has been a big barrier I've been fighting personally. The ability to dream. Can I even dream? What should I dream about? Where do I start? It reminds me of an interview Trevor Noah was doing a while back, and he was asked, where do you see yourself in the future? And it was quite interesting how he was explaining. He didn't even know this other part of his present actually existed, that he could actually dream or envision something like that for himself. I sometimes feel that I honestly don't know what the future holds, because I don't know. Literally, I don't know. All I know is that in the here and now, bridging that, learning more about this digital divide is blowing my mind. Like right now, I'm just in that phase of being mind blown and seeing what we can do to bridge that digital divide. Let's have our future generation knowing or having a glimpse or just an idea as to the power that the smartphones have. We're not even talking about virtual reality. We're just talking about smartphones. And I'm not talking about advanced smartphones. I'm talking about the advanced Androids and the advanced iPhones. I'm talking about the affordable smartphones with the lowest cameras, I mean the lowest quality of cameras, the lowest quality of memory, but with what the little they have, let's see the amazing things they can do. And I know people from this other digital divide are making things better, they're making things more advanced, irrespective of the price. And I know there are people who are making things more advanced, even for the lower budget kind of products, tools, and services. Let's see what the advanced can do, and let's see if we can have a glimpse into that and see what can be done. If it's a very large topic, I thought I'd just talk about it for 20 minutes, but it's a bulky one. And I'm doing this freestyle. I don't have any script in front of me. I just wanted to share that with you. Question the assumptions. You'll not be replaced. But surround yourself in environments with people with mindsets, with teams, with organizations, which are questioning assumptions, which are trying to bridge this digital divide at whichever point of the digital divide they're in. Yeah. As to how I'm doing, other than working with this amazing organization on a freelance basis, some things are still gray. Some things I'm still trying to figure out, especially the inner work. A lot of inner work is going on. And maybe if I can steal a lesson or two for you, there's one thing that has really changed my personal mindset, and it's that you are enough. I have been in a position where I'm in a very unique position, in the sense that I live in rural Mount Elgon. That's somewhere very far from Nairobi. And when I look at people attending events, people networking, people talking, people engaging, it's basically the same circle, interacting with each other. They already know each other, they've already met. And as much as remote social media is, as much as social media is linking me to such people, I cannot really connect with them because I've never met them. And something else, I've never been to tech events. I think I've only been to one design event because I was in Nairobi for some work for a bit. That was last year. And I felt so out of place. I think with every engagement I've had in such aspects with fellow colleagues, I've always felt so out of place. And even in the tech communities I've been, I felt so out of place. I know we're coming together because we have a common interest in tech, in improving people's lives through technology, in my capacity of as a designer, or an advocate, or a teacher. I love teaching. I've always felt so out of place. Even in that design event, that was the worst. I felt like I was not supposed to be there. Even when I'm working with people sometimes, I have that feeling of, I may have the knowledge and the perspective, but I always feel out of place. Even when I'm asked to offer perspective, suggestion, share my feedback, I'm really fitting in. And I don't know if it's reflective of what I've gone through from my personal experiences when interacting with people, not really fitting into cliques, not really fitting in with social groups. I find it hard. And my nature as a designer, being able to empathize with people and connect with different levels of energy, you really need to do to know that. Like, in, as a designer, these are things we don't talk about. As much as you have these skills of empathy, communication, presenting, stakeholder management, this connecting energy, I'm able to do that. And most times I'm able to detect energy which is not there. And I don't know why. Not like energy which is not replicated. So, really feeling out of place in a lot of contexts. And those are, that, like, that is one of the reason, those are one of the reasons why I left. I really didn't fit, I feel like I fitted in any tech community or tech space. Not just because of the energy vibes or whatever, but also the perspective and outlooks and my personal philosophy on design. I didn't feel like it was being, it had room for it to flourish and grow wherever it is. And I'm having a problem with current tech communities because of that. The things they engage, like the basis of the conversations, the basis of the interactions, like, I feel like out of place in the sense that my own personal philosophy, it doesn't fit in that narrative. And just feeling out of place, what I've learned is I'm enough. Even if I don't fit in, doesn't mean I'm less, because I always thought I was less. And I've had that feeling of trying to keep up with the latest technology, senior designers, the most advanced or prized or... time is running out. The most advanced people in the tech field. I've always felt like I'm keeping up, I'm trying to keep up, I'm trying to fit in because I'm so out of place. But I came to the realization that as I am, who I am, what I believe in, and the place I am in my journey, I'm enough. And with the little I have, I need to concentrate on multiplying that with what I can afford, with what I have, so as to become better. I know people say, like, you don't start from the most advanced, you start from ground zero, climbing up. And there's this mentality of you need to be the best and setting the standards so high. But the thing is, the only standards which should exist in you pushing is, as much as the industry standards, that those personal standards that you should, that's what I'm focusing on. Knowing who I am, knowing that I'm enough, knowing that I have the ability to be nothing but the best, and knowing that I don't need to conform to fit in. I need to just bloom, and maybe I'll meet other people like me and we're going to vibe and have the same, or even them having more energy, but we're able to connect our energies and just vibe with each other and great, and make great things together, question basic assumptions, and just go deeper and further and fall more in love with the craft. And most importantly, fall in love with people, the problems, the essence, the good things about them and the bad things. And just falling in love with people and most importantly, falling in love with ourselves. I think that's it. So don't always feel the pressure of fitting in. You have to do this to fit in. If you feel like you don't fit in, don't force vibes, don't force yourself. Just be you, and if it doesn't work, just tap out and find a place that actually works for you. I don't know if that makes sense though. Yeah. Have a good one. Bye.